Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin, and it's Tuesday night in Montgomery County. And we're talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County. So, if you need to know, this is the program that we're doing. I want to thank you for coming by. I want to thank you for stopping by. This is Two-Way Talk Radio. Our phone number is 773-897-6423. Once again, that's 773-897-6423. And again, the program that you're listening to is called Outside Looking In. And today I'm outside, I'm looking in, and I'm not feeling good about anything. I've been in the Maryland area for about 2 years now, getting close to 2 years, and I've had ample time to go up to Charm City, Baltimore, and seeing what's going on there. I don't know why it's bothering me, but it does. I shouldn't have such an attachment. I shouldn't have such a feeling. But Baltimore gets a bum deal in everything that it's ever been in. You know, especially living in Montgomery County, people look at Baltimore to like, oh, they're the lesser of everything. They're the lesser of D.C. The Ravens are just, you know, thugs and all of this kind of stuff. But you look at Baltimore, and I mean, Baltimore has a history, has a real history. And the thing that bothers me about what's going on in Baltimore is not just what happened with the police situation. Because let me tell you, that is, it's time. It almost seemed like Baltimore learned how to deal with something because of all that's happened before. You know what I mean? They're going to bring up larceny and all this stuff. It was interesting because around Facebook came Eric Gray's background and arrest records. You know, to distribute narcotics. It kept showing up and all of this kind of stuff. So we want to discredit this guy. Fair enough. I understand everybody's trying to get their say into it. And the police, you know, I really don't speak against the police because I'll never know when I need them. You know, it's going to be one of those things. I'm going to throw stones at the police, but I'll never know when I need them. But then again, if I ever get caught for something, I don't want to be in a situation where I get clubbed in the head 9 times where I don't deserve it or don't need it. But on the flip side, too, I keep my mouth shut. I don't know. And I'm not trying to pass judgment on what happened here. I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened other than the guy died from injuries sustained in police custody. An inquiry needs to be made. Everybody needs to see what's going on. It can't happen. People can't be dying. And I mean, again, this is like the shark bite effect that I talked about. It's just that it's happening everywhere now. And with social media and all these different media outlets, it gets broadcast everywhere. Not that it makes it right. I'm not trying to say that it makes it right. But if it's an epidemic, then we have to stop it. It has to be stopped. It has to be looked at. Something has to be changed somehow, some way. You know, I have a hard time believing that every time someone's felt that they needed self-defense or done something, I don't know. I'm just so torn about this. But my point I'm trying to make about Baltimore and the leadership there, what is done, they had learned. They had learned from Ferguson. They had learned from elsewhere. They've learned from New York. They've learned from anywhere. You know, yesterday when the protests went on, or when the protests first started, the police didn't get involved. They didn't insert themselves to make themselves the story. There were peaceful protests. According to everybody who, I don't know, anybody who could say it, anybody who was a leader said it. You know, whether a religious leader or civic leader, even the mayor of Baltimore, even the police commissioner. You know, this is what was going on. There was peaceful demonstration. And, you know, what am I going to say about demonstration? I tell you every week, step up to the mic because no one's going to say it for you. This is one of those situations. You can demonstrate and demonstrate and demonstrate daily till someone hears what's going on. And I understand, you know, being a white guy, I don't understand, obviously. I mean, there's got to be a double standard somewhere. But I don't get that part, or I don't understand that part, but I understand people going out to the street and trying to get something changed. We got to look at this. I mean, it's too many people dying in police custody or at police hands. Again, and I'm not trying to bash the police. I don't know. Something has to be looked at. There has to be there has to be a real inquiry. There has to be a real getting down to what the heck is going on. But the point I'm trying to make, and I don't want to get myself in trouble on either way, is that Baltimore's been hijacked. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There isn't, and I feel bad for Baltimore because, you know, Baltimore is a working-class city. The people there love it. They love Baltimore. I've had occasion to go up there numerous times. But I'll tell you, this is a black eye on Baltimore like you wouldn't believe, because you thought people were scared of Baltimore before. I'll tell you, there have been three cities that I've been to that I've – actually two cities that I've been nervous in. I used to work in – you know, I've been nervous in Philadelphia, and I've been nervous in Baltimore. And I guess the similarities are the row houses. You know, coming out of New York, you don't see that too much unless you're in Queens. But it was just, you know, between The Wire and Homicide on the Street and a bunch of other things, you know, the only thing that Baltimore had going for it was Diner, right? And the Baltimore Colts. You know, Community and Brooks Robinson and Camden Yards. I mean, Baltimore's got a lot going for it. And they're a city on the upswing. That Inner Harbor, people are going there. People are doing things. It's all tourists. And they all leave after a certain time at night, that's for sure. You know, Baltimore's still a bit scary, but it doesn't matter. It should not be hijacked by thugs. And I don't like to use that word and just run out there in the street and say, these are thugs. But what are you gaining? What is the purpose of looting a CVS? The police gave you a wide berth in terms of these demonstrations, and the people who were trying to get their message across took that berth, and it was fantastic. It was good. Good for them. I don't want to say fantastic, but they took it, and they ran with it. They did what they had to do. They were talking, and they were raising their points. But when someone puts on a bandana across their face and pulls down a ski mask and starts throwing rocks, turning over cars, the message has been hijacked. And what's funny about it, or forgive my choice of words if I say something like that, funny. Nothing funny about it. The interesting part about this is that people feel the same way, black, white, or whatever. It doesn't matter. They know that something's been hijacked. They know that this isn't the message to get across. And the problem is that there are going to be people outside of the Baltimore area who are just going to be like, oh, those animals, the animals, they're running free. Ruining their own city. Yeah, they are ruining their own city. But don't take away from the message of the people who actually were talking about the message this time. It just feels different to me. It feels different. The police gave them, you know, in terms of riot control or crowd control, they gave them a wide berth. They gave them space. They didn't create a situation. They didn't create conflict. And the civic leaders, religious leaders, know this, and they appreciate that. They had a chance to say what they had to say, but, you know, you get young punks who come in, and I'm talking about young punks. It's just young punks. There's no way to say it differently, who come in and see an opportunity. You know, thug life, glorifying the thug life. You read Facebook or something like that, you know, putting up pictures of people getting in slap fights, playing knockout. Guys walking down the street and the group comes and just punches them in the face to see if they can knock them out. I mean, idiotic nonsense. Violence for the sake of violence. And that's what's happened here. That's what's happened here. And that's why I feel bad for the city of Baltimore. You know, they're hardworking people trying to make it right there. Trying to make it right. And it's important. As someone who lives in Maryland right now, it's important that Baltimore gets it straight. On a whole bunch of levels outside of the issue that we're talking about right now. Baltimore needs to get it right. They need to get it right. What's going on there is that, you know, people from the outside are just going to be looking at this stuff and, you know, oh, Baltimore, that's just where all that bad stuff happens. Doesn't have to be that way. You know, I mean, there's certain times where it's like Ray Lewis, right, speaking out for Baltimore. But, you know, he's whatever he's done in his life, again, but he's like, young people, go home. Don't destroy our city. And everyone's saying that. They got to cancel a baseball game. They got to cancel the Orioles from playing because they're worried. Baltimore's shutting down. People who thought it was over opened up today because they want to be strong. They want to be get on with life, get back to what they have to do. But now you got, and then the next day, the riots again. I mean, riots. And I don't look at this as black people rioting. You know, I mean, this is this, and that's what's going to happen on the Fox News contingent and elsewhere. It's going to be like, oh, the black people are rioting. They don't know how to do anything. You know, and it's just going to be so, it's going to draw such a divide and such a line. It's going to be so hurtful that it's unnecessary. The line is between educated people, decent people, and thug life. People who live to cause havoc. People who live with a knife or a gun in their band. Because this isn't what's being talked about. This isn't what it is. That's not the voice of demonstration. It's not even the voice of protest. But once you start doing this, because this violence just seems so out of left field for what has been going on so far, that it's a sad, sad thing because it's been hijacked. It's no different. And you're going to be like, how could you compare this, Bruce, to any of that stuff? I can't really, but I have to say it. It's imagine a political party. Somebody's come in there. The radical aspect of this has hijacked the message. No justice, no peace. They just need a reason. It's not even about justice or peace anymore. It's, oh, we're getting together. Meet me down at the mall. We're going to loot. And it's been taken away. Gone. The message is gone. Now, everything that the people in Baltimore who are trying to strive and get ahead in terms, especially in terms of the situation with Eric Gray right now, it's their message is wiped out. It's wiped out. Oh, you're just part of that riotous community in Baltimore. No. They were stepping up to the mic because no one was saying it for them, and look what happened. Someone took that mic and threw it through a window. I feel for Baltimore. I really do. I really do. You know, because as I said before, they had a bum steer, the wire, and the homicide life on the street. You know, I mean, people were scared of Baltimore. What's going to happen now? It's hard to get out of these reputations. It's hard to get out of this kind of stuff, especially when they're closing down Camden Yards because of fear of violence. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's like growing up in New York, it was a little bit different because, you know, you couldn't go a day without seeing a white person or a black person or a Hispanic person or Dominican or whatever. You couldn't go a day in New York City. If you wanted to get to work and ride the subway, you couldn't go a day. It was cool. It was calm. I didn't care. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know. Some of these things that I say are probably, damn, Bruce, you're a racist. No, I'm not a racist. What I'm trying to say here is that it was just, they're different races. You know, you don't have to, you know, I'm not hugging everybody. They weren't hugging me either. We're getting along, getting to work, knowing what's happening. You're wearing a Met hat, I'm wearing a Met hat. Hey, what's up, man? What's up? The Mets, all right. Never talk about the Yankees. Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're wearing a Yankee hat, I hate you. No, but seriously, you know, it's like here, you know, the people, especially who live in Montgomery County, oh, let's go up to Baltimore to the Science Center. Let's go up to Baltimore to the aquarium. You know, much needed dollars being spent in the state of Maryland and the city of Baltimore. But if stuff like this is going to happen, if it's going to come down to the Inner Harbor or close to it or to Camden Yards, people are going to be like, I ain't going. A telltale sign will be Oriole attendance for the next couple months to see the effect, the lingering effects that this has on the city itself without resolving anything. That's the thing. That's what I mean about the message being hijacked. I'm talking about if people are going to go to an Oriole game, if white people from Montgomery County or just suburban people from Montgomery County are going to go to an Oriole game. That's what I'm bringing it to. Not about finding out what happened and that police thing, because the message has been hijacked so badly, so badly, now it's become the city fighting for itself, the city as a whole, instead of the issue itself of possible police misguidance, brutality, neglect, whatever you want to call it, or what the real situation was, who knows? That's what I'm saying. No, the whole focus of everything has shifted away from what people were trying to focus on, of what they were trying to get accomplished. Finding out, having an inquiry into what happened to this guy who died in police custody. And again, you know, I mean, you can bring out arrest records and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't a good guy. But you wonder what it's about. What can be said? What can be done that you suffer severe enough injuries to die? You know, it's a scary thought. It really is. It's a scary thought for anybody to be in a police station. You know, you just, what do? You just shut up, I guess. I mean, even if you shut up, who knows? Happening too much not to have some doubts. But I support the police. I really do. I mean, I don't. It's one of these things. You have to. Otherwise, it's something. It's a breakdown in society. Because, you know, I'm going to call them one day. Something's going to be wrong for me. And I'm going to call them. And how can I say I hate you and then ask for your help? It's not that easy for me to do. Got to go back and forth on these kinds of things. But the poor city of Baltimore hijacked. The whole message hijacked. Now Baltimore's on trial, not the incident that happened within the city limits. Let's go rioting. Let's go. I mean, and that's exactly what it was. This isn't a casual thing saying, oh, every time something happens, there's a riot. Now this was, let's go rioting. People are going to gather. There's going to be anger. I'm a little bit angry about this, but you know what? Let's go rioting. I'm going to get myself some liquor. I'm going to get myself a television. I'm going to get something from CVS. For free. Like, Bruce, oh, you're missing the point. But I don't think I'm missing the point because I understand the point of the civic leaders in the city of Baltimore. I understand what they were talking about. They wanted answers. These aren't the answers they wanted. They're condemning the violence just as much as anybody else. They know that their message, that their inquiry, their thoughts into the process are being hijacked and gone forever, and labeled something else because, I don't want to say a few, because there's a lot. There's a lot. Did you see the video today of the lady, of the mother, who saw her son behind a ski mask? She went out there and beat the hell out of him. What, are you crazy getting in this violence and this riot? Throw away your life to throw a Brock through a window? Because believe me, in this day and age, with all of these cameras everywhere, security cameras here, there, and everywhere, they're going to get you. They're going to find you, knock on your door, and put you in the cuffs for what? For throwing a brick through a window? Yeah, big man, tough guy. Burning a car? Any of this stuff is just stupid. It's just stupid. That's why I love New York City. And you know what I mean? Things, when people get upset in New York City, it's for a real reason. You know, there's real things going on. New York Knicks or the Yankees win a championship. Nobody's burning couches or turning over cars. Acting like we've been there before. 1994, the New York Rangers win a Stanley Cup. People like the police are like worried. It was the biggest party in New York City. 2000, when the Yankees won and beat the Braves. A huge party. 86, the same thing. Not throwing over, you know, it's not like Detroit. The Tigers win. Smash a window. I mean, I don't use the word lightly, but idiocy. It's just idiotic. It's idiotic. It's thug life. It's a new way of living. I'm the baddest of the bad. The baddest of the bad. And I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. Society has no chains on me. I'm strapped. I got my knuckle game going. I can do whatever I want. It's a bad way to live and a bad thing to glorify. And that's what we're doing, glorifying it all, and that's why it happens. I was sitting with my dad the other day. Before I even get to this, the program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger, and I'm here every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and Baltimore County and beyond. This is Two-Way Talk Radio, so if you want to get on the air, phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. If you have an opinion about what's going on in Baltimore, I'd like to hear what people out of New York are thinking about what's going on in Baltimore, even from here. Or if someone's in Baltimore now, talk to me about that. But I was sitting on the couch with my dad the other day. I went back up to New York this past weekend, played in a hockey tournament. It was fun. I got to meet a bunch of guys from New Rochelle and Larchmont again, where I grew up, and a good bunch of guys. But anyway, we're sitting on the couch. We're watching, I don't know, the Rangers or something, Wheel of Fortune. Who knows what we're watching? Anyway, we're watching a couple commercials. You know, something for Fast and Furious comes on, and then something for another movie, and then for a television show, and for this and for that. Literally, four things came on, and everybody had a gun in their hand. This is what I'm talking about. You know, curb gun violence, curb violence. We glorify it daily, every day, every day, every movie. Go look at the movie posters. Go look at the side of the bus. In New York, you could see this a lot because you go down to the subway, and they had a lot of those throw-up posters. Everything has a gun in it. You want gun control, handgun control? Everything is about violence, shooting, or guns. That's where it's got to start. You want to start gun control? Take it off of every poster. When a kid can see a gun, when you can't shield your child from anything, ever. When you're in mass transit. And even if like Will Ferrell and Marky Mark are making a film, they have guns in it. You know, it's like you can't hide anything. It's so tough. I mean, I don't believe in shielding my children. We talked about alcohol and all this kind of stuff a couple weeks ago. You know, I want kids to grow up with some sense of worldliness, or that's a bad word, but experience, different experience. Like, you can't shield people in this world anymore. But you sure as hell don't have to throw it in their face daily, hourly, half hourly, on the minutes. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, what are the CSI? Crime scene investigation. Guns everywhere. You know, NCIS. This, that. Cop shows, whatever. It's like, okay, I understand there's some real drama in there, but whatever happened to a story? How come stories can't be told anymore? That's why I think Modern Family is one of the best comedies ever written. Because they could be mean to each other, and they could be do all of this different stuff to each other, and they could be funny, and they could be loving. But at the end, they all got back together, and they knew the sense of family. And I don't want to go down that road, because that's not what I'm saying right now. But what I am saying is, you want to get the guns, you got to stop the guns. You got to stop them being prevalent in everything and every advertisement, every commercial, everything that we see. We are a gun culture. A gun culture, and I'm not even talking about shotguns and deer rifles. Believe me, if I had a shotgun or a rifle, I'd be popping some deer in my backyard. I'm tired of them eating all my azaleas and petunias or whatever I have. I understand the guns for hunting. I understand that kind of stuff. I don't understand an automatic weapon for hunting. That's just laziness. That's just idiocy. What are you like in the deer hunter? Sal, right? Well, I forgot who it was, but John, the guy who played Fredo, you know, he couldn't take a deer in one shot like De Niro could, so he would need an automatic. You know, he'd be the guy out there with an automatic weapon. Ah, got you all. Ah. I mean, I get the need for some guns for hunting, for sport. Handguns, I don't get the need for. I don't. You know, oh, you're a Republican, Bruce? How could you talk about guns? Because that's what I'm talking about, man. Every week I say I take from this side and that side, and I run down the middle. That's what I'm talking about. I don't believe in handguns. I don't like the fact that a handgun is shown to me every day, somehow, some way. Television, movies, book covers, whatever. I don't like it. When you promote something, you take away the shock value of it. When you see it every day, it becomes just part of it. Oh, it's no big deal. It's like when you start cursing, right? Or cussing, as some of you people say. If a little kid says it, oh my God. An adult says it, eh. Because when you first say it, you get that shock value. After a while, you get older, you hear other people saying it, and then it becomes, there's no more, it becomes part of your vernacular. It becomes part of your vocabulary. I know people in New York who use cuss words, curse words, as adjectives and verbs. I know people. I'm one of them. Listen to me one time. Come into my hockey locker room, and you'll be like, pass that bleep, bleep, bleep over here, right? Where you bleep, bleep, bleep. But the thing is, people understand. They understand what I'm talking about. But what I guess you could, what I'm trying to say here is you can desensitize something. You can desensitize it so much that it doesn't matter anymore. That's the problem with some of these video games and all that kind of stuff. You know, desensitize it. I went to paintball one time. Paintball, wow, we're going deep on this. But I saw all these people. I went out there to paintball. Someone's having it for a birthday party. I'd never done it before. I'll try it. Why not? Wasn't a big fan. Wasn't really into it because it's like, okay, I get to shoot you and you get to shoot me. They're rifles, but it's still shooting, hunting down somebody. You know, and you desensitize it. And let me tell you about desensitizing. If all these people were coming out there with $1,000 paintball guns, dressed up like they were going to Vietnam, spending their Saturdays with automatic loading rifles and scopes and all of this kind of stuff. Either you're crazy or you're so far into the military or you should just go right now. Go forget paintball. Go to the recruiting station. You want to be Mr. Gung-Ho? Tell me how good you are at paintball. Become an Army Ranger. Impress me then. It's a game. It's just a game, Bruce. It's just a game. I don't like the game. What did I say? Don't hate the player, hate the game. I hate them both. Call of Duty, Halo, all of this kind of stuff. I mean, video games now, it's cool to play a video game such as Grand Theft Auto. Prostitutes and drug money and all this kind of stuff. Oh, it's cool. It's all right. I don't care if my 15-year-old plays it. And then he comes upstairs. Yo, Ma, what's up, Ma? Where's the dinner, yo? Where's the dinner, Ma? Yo, if you were my game, I'd smack you up, Ma. Guess who'd get smacked on that one? Not just smacked, guess who would lose teeth? That little kid walking up the steps. And I'm serious about this, you know? I mean, oh, Bruce, you're making a joke. You look at, but when you desensitize, everything is into the culture. It's okay. Bring it into the culture. Overnight, we can change. Now, what do I sound like today? Do I sound like a Democrat or a Republican? You know, I mean, I guess I sound more Republican in my ideas of saying that we don't want change, but I'm more Democrat in the ideas of saying I don't want guns, I don't want violence, right? I don't believe in the NRA. Guns are a right. I mean, the Second Amendment. I got people in my family that I married through Gina who keep trying to tell me about the Second Amendment. Like, read it. When was the last time the British came to our house? And you know what? Have the armory down the block, have Paul Revere with the key. And every time I go down there, every time the British come over to our land or Al-Qaeda or whoever, I'm running down. I'm going to get my gun too. Can't have guns in the house. Kids don't know the difference between guns, real guns, and anything. I mean, I got kids here. My kids have Nerf guns. We had people bring them into the house and they gave them to them for birthdays or Christmas or whatever. My mother-in-law hates it. Me, I'm like, it's a Nerf gun. What are we going to do? But, you know, they're shooting each other, and I don't like that at all. I don't like it at all because it turns from there to a BB gun to whatever. And, I mean, I'm not saying my kids are going to go out shooting people. They better not. I won't let it happen. I have enough care and oversight in this household not to let it happen. You know, whether you have free-range chicken kids or not, still better have some oversight on them. But yeah, that's where you go. That's where you start. You're going to get the guns, your President Andrew Shepard? We're going to get the guns. We're going door to door, and we're going to get the guns. You want to get the guns? Get them out of every movie. Get them out of Hollywood. Stop blowing stuff up every 7 seconds. Stop making bad guys. Stop glorifying. Stop making movies out of the guy out of Argentina, Pablo Escobar. Scarface, any of this stuff. See, it's funny because everyone goes back to The Godfather and looks at it, but you see the pain in The Godfather. He couldn't get out of the family. He couldn't get out. People see it all glorifying it. I see it in a different way. Oh, it was cool that Mikey killed that police captain. Oh, it was cool. No, it wasn't cool. You know, just go back to the movie and see how his dad, how upset his dad was. Vito Corleone was. He's like, Mike, I didn't want this for you. Now, Sonny was a perfect example of a guy who did want that life. But Mike didn't deserve it. He was just smarter. You know, and he just took family loyalty over everything else. Not glorification. I don't think, you know, there's two ways to read that. Two ways to look at that. People want to look at old gangster life. I'm a gangster. Guns. It's cool. It's not cool. It's not cool. Now, I'm going to say this once because it's just I'm thinking about irresponsible advertising. The people I would go after for irresponsible advertising, the thing that bothers me the most are car commercials. The car commercials. Have you ever seen a car commercial of anybody just driving to the store? No, they're all doing donuts in the snow on icy conditions on closed roads. When's the last time you opened up your car to 155 miles per hour and didn't, like, I guess Jason Wirth is the guy, you know, out in Virginia. But when's the last time you did, you know, you did a donut and swung into a parking spot? Talk about irresponsible. Car companies are, I mean, you might as well show people drinking and hitting on people. You know, I mean, we're going to worry about alcohol. Worry about the cars as well. I know that seems a little far-fetched, but it just bothers me how they get away with irresponsible commercials driving 107 miles per hour on a closed road. It's a closed road. I don't care. Stunt people. I mean, all the fine print that's... If you got to put fine print underneath your commercial, doesn't that tell you that it's a false representation or a wrong representation? Do not try this at home. The hell am I buying your car for? Not Germany. We don't have the Autobahn here. No, really, it's like, just get me my Altima. Let me run around in my CRV. I just want to make sure I get the hockey. I'll get back. Make sure I get up to the, you know, the Ranger game and I get back. Make sure I get to the Stop and Shop, the Giant, Jersey Mike's, and get back. Make sure I can get to Florida and get back. I think the highest I've ever driven my car might be 92 miles per hour, and I'm saying, what am I doing? Why do I need that $300 ticket? Let's back it on down. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I might be 107 years old. I'm not sure. I was born in 19, you know, according to, I don't know when I was born. I don't know if I'm 47 or 48 years old. I could figure it out. I just don't feel like it. That's how I know I'm getting old. I don't feel like figuring out how old I am. But I was told the other day I am 47, so that's good. I gained a year on my life. Feeling better. Got another year to waste. That's not true. And we're going to switch topics in a minute. We're going to get to citizens disenfranchised. Talking about super PACs. Super PAC money versus the early primaries. Will money keep also Rand in the race? We'll find out on Outside Looking In. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. We'll be back in a sec.
Western Mixtape Mixed by Molly Mo. Check it, check it, check it.
Woo! Ha 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 ha! Western, Western! Know your beats. It's your boy, DJ Legend, a.k.a. Molly Mo. We in the building. This is how we do. Right about now, we taking you through the catalog, the early years, Western Records. Come on, get up!
Can't keep my hands off you. When you hold
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Heartbeat for the one I love. That's right, Heartbeat. One of my favorite joints from back in the day. You're listening to Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negron. It's Tuesday night, April 28th. Someday spring will hit us. I believe it might be May 1st. Hopefully. Hopefully. Wife is running in the Frederick Marathon, half marathon this weekend. So I'll be up there on Sunday morning. I know she can do it, but I just want to make sure she needs the support. So she's like, I can drive myself. I'm like, are you out of your mind? She's run 12 miles before, so it's only 13.1, and she's been able to carry on a full day of work. But I'll go out there and support her. The problem is I got to get up. She's got to be there at 6:15 on a Sunday. Ouch, the Rangers are on. The Rangers are on Saturday night. I'm not going to get to sleep till 12. I got to wake up at 5 and roll her over there, but you know what? That's what love is. That's what you do for people. Well, she's into running. I enjoy it. I enjoy that she enjoys it. She's out there at Fleet Feet in the Kentlands buying expensive sneakers. I say nothing because I buy expensive hockey sticks. It's the two things. It's funny. This is why we get along, my wife and I, because we both hide those receipts. It's the only receipts we hide. And if I go to Macy's or something or the Barney's, wherever, I don't hide that. She goes out to Ann Taylor or whatever. She doesn't hide that. It's just the other ones, the running and or the sporting stuff we hide. It's interesting. It's interesting. Well, anyway, there was an article in the Washington Post. Zoinks! The Washington Post. And guess who it's by? Dana Milbank. This guy's becoming my new favorite. I read his thing and I comment on it and I bring it to you. But he's talking about citizens disenfranchised and we're talking about super PACs. Super duper PACs. These are the political action committees that are not supposed to be associated with candidates directly, but can support candidates and spend as much as they want and raise as much as they want due to a Supreme Court ruling from years ago, a few years ago at least, that said it was all right to raise as much money and not to limit contributions from people and or corporations. So they can, as long as they put them into these super PACs. And these super PACs can go out and pick the people that they want, or they can get started by people, by candidates, and then they'll have to separate from it later on. And there's supposed to be no real – they're not supposed to be in cahoots. They can, you know, they can promote and run that, and that's the difference. That's why a lot of these attack ads come out now, because these super PACs or these PACs are able to – you know, it's not sanctioned by the candidate. It's sanctioned by the super PAC or the PAC. And they can get away with whatever they want. So anyway, this guy, he's talking about the law of unintended consequences frequently rules the practice of politics, and once again, Republican candidates are hauling in so much money that the flood of cash has washed away the Darwinian system of natural selection that previously allowed parties to pick their nominees. So what he's saying here, Dana Milbank's saying, is that there's so much money in these super PACs for each of these candidates, for Jeb Bush, who's not even running yet, for Ted Cruz, for Rand Paul. Well, Rand Paul, I don't know. But who did he say? Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, Mark Rubio. These guys each raised $30 million apiece in short order. I mean, it's crazy how much money is out there. How much money is out there? In 2030, you know, I'll drop them. I'll give you $1 million. Don't worry about it. It does talk about the 1%. It does talk about how things are being... The key word for this program is hijacked today. Hijacked is the word. How the election process is being hijacked. But there's one thing that he brought up that I wanted to read. He's talking about Hillary Clinton as well. He goes, but Republicans, before they can exploit Hillary Clinton's financial vulnerabilities in the general election, have to resolve a predicament in their primaries that once would have seemed enviable. Is it possible to raise too much money? As the likes of the Kochs and Adelsons sponsor candidates the way the Medicis patronized Renaissance artists. It's a great line. There's a real chance voters, particularly in early primary states, will lose their traditional ability to shape the field because these guys have too much money to drop out. Now, let me turn that phrase around for a second. Like, Bruce, how could you turn it around? You know, they're buying votes. the people in New Hampshire and Iowa, they don't get to, they get disenfranchised. Their vote doesn't count anymore because their primary doesn't count because these guys will stay in. You know, how many times have you thought that someone's had a poor showing in New Hampshire that he should stay in? But the money dries up. It's always been one of these things. I just think they evened the playing field on this. Let me tell you, it means that the long haul on the primary, and this is going to change for everybody, for Democrats and Republicans. In my opinion, I don't agree with so much money being in here, and there's some guys who should drop out, but just because you have a poor showing in Iowa, you should be done. You should be done. You have a poor showing in New Hampshire, you should be done. I talk about disenfranchised. My candidate doesn't make it to the New York State or Maryland primary because he had a poor showing in New Hampshire. That's disenfranchising to me. That's where I turn this argument on its head. There are some people who deserve to find their momentum. If you knock people out of the box because of New Hampshire, what service, you know, what service are you giving the country? You're giving the service as a disservice, in my opinion. I have nothing in common with someone from New Hampshire or Iowa. I am sick and tired of people setting the pace for me. Let me be the... That's why they moved all these primaries up, because people were getting sick and tired of New Hampshire and Iowa running the gamut. Your guy is in it, and it's not even just your guy, but you're not even giving someone to feel the stride. You're asking people to jump in so early because you're not going to hit your stride in primary season. If you're not already a machine going into New Hampshire in the old way, even before the money came through, you're out. You're out. And you have a poor showing in there, but you said the things that made the most sense, but your machine wasn't working. You didn't make it onto South Carolina. You didn't keep going on. I think this is a good thing. How about that? How do you like them apples, Dana Milbank? It's disenfranchised. I finally feel franchised. I feel like McDonald's. That's how franchised I feel. Because I'll tell you one thing. Seriously, I don't know when the Maryland primary is. I really don't. I know when the New York one was. It's okay. Why should I vote? It's too late. It doesn't matter. The train is already out of the station, and there's no way to put it back in. You know, the people have already been picked. So now I get to choose what New Hampshire, you know, New Hampshire says these guys are leftovers, or these are the three or the two that should be going. So New Hampshire or Iowa, a straw poll, a caucus? Shut up. Shut up. The game of politics has changed. I want a voice. You're telling me citizens disenfranchised. I get what he's saying here. You know, let me read his point, and then I'll get back to mine. Still undeclared candidate Jeb Bush, who is on course to haul in $100 million by the end of next month, boasted to donors Sunday night that his fundraising has been historic. So good that his two successful super PAC temporarily limited contributions to $1 million. But Bush's take, Golden O'Keefe noted, hasn't stopped groups from raising in short order $20 million or $30 million apiece for Ted Cruz, Scott Walker, and Marco Rubio. With that kind of money available, you're unlikely to quit even if you're an asterisk in the polls. I hear what he's saying. You know, there's some times where you got to lick your wounds and get out. You know, and the money's already there. They can run this out to where the primaries in South Carolina or some other state or a Super Tuesday primary can actually make a difference, where people in eight or nine states make a difference instead of one state. Do you think I'm wrong? Because I don't think I'm wrong on this one. Are you not tired of other people talking for you? Hey, what? Guess what? This money helps me step up to the mic and say something. This money helps me, my candidate, or whoever I choose, to stay in a race if it's worthwhile. At least till I get to vote him out or vote for the guy I feel. You can't tell me that New Hampshire, just because of tradition, and Iowa, just because of tradition, gets to pick who I vote for. John Anderson didn't do well. Ross Perot didn't do well. You know, Ross Perot was like one of the first ones who could support his own campaign, so he was hanging around. But still, They're guys who come out of who you think have a shot. They're your guy. Oh, he did very poorly in New Hampshire, and you know, this is Roger Mudd for CBS, and I don't think he's going to be moving on anymore. The money's dried up. He's, you know, he's dead in the water. Even though he has a solid plan for ending unemployment and knows how to deal with the Russians because he's had 35 years of foreign policy experience. But the people in New Hampshire didn't like him because he wore bell buckle shoes and he didn't say live free or die. So he's out. And that's the way I feel sometimes. That's how ridiculous it is. I mean, disenfranchised. I've been disenfranchised for 25 years, 30 years. And that's what I believe. You know, especially now, I told you all politics are local, and those are the elections I go to. Those are where I don't feel disenfranchised because I go out to those elections and I make sure I vote for my local guy because that's where the laws start. That's where the laws that are going to affect you the most, the most. The ones that affect your pocketbook the most as well. Your city services, your picking up your garbage, cleaning your streets, your snow removal. Snow removal, Maryland, snow removal. How much snow have we had in the last 2 years? Blame it on me. I come off the moving truck, right? The moving truck pulls up to the house. First thing off the truck are two snow shovels, and the guy who's unloading goes, you won't need those much down here anymore. And I'm like, no, don't say that. You're talking to a guy who believes in the jinx, and guess what? The jinx is real. It's real. It happened. We got nothing but snow in Maryland. Snow left and right. 20 days and 2 years out of school kinds of snow. Armageddon snow. No, it wasn't that bad. But my point being is he's saying that the 1% is buying the election because they're able to raise so much money. Now, this is the thing, too. I mean, if they're able to raise $100 million, you know, having these super PACs or these, you know, it just makes you think about these charities of helping, you know, thinking locally and acting globally or whatever it is, you know. That kind of money is kind of ridiculous. And people do have it. These are people who are buying the Pacquiao Mayweather tickets. You know, $140,000 for 3 hours. Is it that important to be seen? There's that much disposable income? Jesus, man. You know, I mean, Jesus. That's all you could say. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. I mean, people spending, you know, a rich man's salary, a very rich, a good, a well-off rich man's salary on a seat for a Pacquiao fight. And I can afford it. What are you, Vinny Chase? Anyway, I mean, do something more creative with your money or more impactful with your money than that. But secondly, wait, I mean, with this Jeb Bush thing, $100 million. Everyone's laughing him off. He's like, oh, the dynasty, you know. He's got enough money to speak and to stay. But I guess that's the point of what Dana Milbank is saying. But my point, too, again, is that now at least, yeah, I don't give a damn, to be honest. Scarlett, frankly, I don't give a damn if Iowa and New Hampshire feel like they're disenfranchised, that they will lose their traditional ability to shape the field because they are not me. Yeah, we're all – the only thing we have in common is that we're Americans. I don't wear flannel shirts and – make maple syrup, and I sure as hell don't make ethanol out of the corn I plow under, and I didn't build anything, so no one's coming. How's that for outstanding generalizations and stereotypes? But what I'm saying is they live a different life than me, different life than a guy who grew up heavily influenced by New York City and now living in this area. I don't see any of the common ground, and I don't want them picking my presidents. I don't. And I think it's okay that maybe a Super Tuesday where 9 or 10 different primaries are going on decide who the president's going to be. That you get a majority voice. Even though it's a minority of the country, it's still a majority voice in terms of the primary. And I think that's fine by me because as long as if a lot of people are speaking, I understand that if my guy gets kicked out, fine. If a lot of people are speaking. New Hampshire. It's just because you're eating flapjacks with the people, you know, who are driving trucks somewhere. Oh, I liked them. I liked them. I didn't know nothing about them. I knew nothing about them. You see? Pepperidge Farm, we remember. I gave him a southern accent. I meant to say, Pepperidge Farm, we remember. I didn't know anything about him, but he came up here. He had some flapjacks with me. and we talked about things, and I like him. He read us Ethan Frome, and we all fell asleep. Once again, I'm right. Program's called Outside Looking In. This time I'm looking in to the outside because I know what I'm talking about when we talk about things from Montgomery County and beyond. In the future, I see Johnny in the future. He says he's talking to Johnny in the future. That's from a movie called Frequency, and that's Andre Brower talking about Dennis Quaid's character in the movie called Frequency. Love that movie. It's about guys who talk on a ham radio because of sunspots or the northern lights or something. The kid is able to talk to dad. He's in 1990. He's able to talk to his dad in 1969 and gets him out of trouble, and they solve some crimes, etc., because of the New York Mets World Series. He was able to tell him, look at Cleon Jones' shoes. It's going to be a scuff mark. So he was able to say that. And the guy got out of trouble, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Just go see the film. What are you asking me for? I don't know. Just go see the film. I didn't direct it. I can't tell you the whole story. I didn't write the script. But I did like it. So guess what's coming to Washington, D.C.? The New York Rangers! Go! That's right. New York Rangers, Washington Capitals. Renew the rivalry on Thursday night. It's going to be interesting. This is the first time I've ever been in enemy territory and been a Ranger fan. The last time I was in outside of the New York area as a Ranger, I was in Atlanta. And that time before, it was Nashville before they had hockey. Both these places before they had hockey. So I've never been in Washington Capitol rocking the red land as a Ranger fan. And I'll tell you, though, I don't like the Capitals. I don't think they're as talented as the Rangers. I don't like – you know what also bothers me? I don't like – who's the guy who does John Wall? The guy who does the Capitals on the radio? He is annoying. First of all, he does it alone. So you got to hear him speak for 60 minutes, if not more. And his voice inflections. Everybody gets on Mike Emmerich. You know, and I don't like Mike Emmerich either. But this guy on the Capitals radio, he's like, Alex Ovechkin! He's like, oh, they're moving up this line? They're moving up the line? Score! Alex Ovechkin! It's like, oh, just turn it off! I mean, any announcer who can crack your window when you're listening inside your car is not good. Not good. Not a good thing at all. Thursday at MSG, the most famous arena in the world. Got a friend from New York called Adam Karp. He's a Devils fan. I have no idea how that happened. Talking about being a contrarian. I can't be a Ranger fan. He sounds like Popeye, by the way, this guy. He's like, I can't be a Ranger fan because of the Devils, you know? The Devils, they eat the spinach. They eat the spinach and they like the Devils. Okay, olive oil, come over here. Let's talk about things. It's one of my favorite voices, the Popeye voice. And he hates when I do it. That's why I even like it more. Let's do Popeye doing the Capitals. Capitals coming down the wing. There's a shot. Alex Ovechkin. Blow me down. Oh, how does it get to this? How does it get to the important topics and then get to this the last 5 or 6 minutes of the program and I just start making myself laugh? Because I am in an undisclosed location in a bunker alone. Just me. Nobody's calling. Everybody listens to the program afterwards. Listen on Tuesday night. Get your voice heard. Talk to me. Phone number 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. And you can email me if you want to at brucenegrinradio@yahoo.com. Again, that's brucenegrinradio@yahoo.com. Or you could go to Facebook and look up the Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin page. A lot of the stuff we talk about on this program, the articles that I've called and the information that has been gleaned from these articles is put on that website or on that Facebook page, just so you know. And any other highlights from Montgomery County, from the North Potomac Citizens Association and or Montgomery County Media, I like to give – my sources. I can't pretend like I'm that much in the know. It's coming. I will be at these meetings soon. You will be seeing me because I'm starting to get the itch. You never know. But I still don't understand the county aspect. You know, this is something that I want to talk about. I guess for the last couple minutes we'll talk about this. It's a sense of community. Does Montgomery County have it? Or can it be manufactured? I don't know. I'm in North Potomac. I think we have too much land here. Too much land in between the houses.
Oh, that's a tough thing, Richie Rich.
Oh, believe me. No Richie Rich going on here. But what I mean here is, like, I told you, I went up to New Rochelle and Larchmont for a hockey tournament. And there were a bunch of guys up there. Patty Boyle, Chris Hurlitz, Kevin Wassong. I mean, just these guys, they're from Larchmont. And to me, Larchmont is probably the best community inside Westchester County. And this is coming from a New Rochelle guy, by the way. Even though there are a bunch of New Rochelle guys now living in Larchmont. Because their sense of community is so deep. I mean, you know what the tournament was for, this hockey tournament I went to? It was to raise money for the rink itself so they could put in showers and upgrade it. And the place is pretty nice right now. But they still look out for each other because they know how many people from Larchmont and Mamaroneck and New Rochelle are going to be using it. So they still look out for each other. And everybody knew each other. It was like the parking lot after the game. Just between the fans and the people who were playing, et cetera. Everyone was sitting there, and everybody knew each other. And it was something that I sorely miss here. I sorely miss it. Because being in North Potomac, being in Gaithersburg, I guess if I lived in the Kentlands, you know, right on top of each other, I might know more people. But the sense of community is not as thick as it was in Westchester or in lower Westchester or in New Rochelle or specific towns. And I think that's the difference. Specific towns. When you come down here, the biggest difference for me between living in New York and living in Montgomery County is the fact that I live in Montgomery County. I have a little cutout called North Potomac, Maryland. Could be Gaithersburg Post Office. It doesn't matter. But I got a little cutout. But there's no sense. You're more based on your school or where your kids go to elementary school than anything else, than on a town. And that also comes with county schools and just county stuff in general. That's where it comes from. So the sense of community is more spread out. But again, I mean, where am I up to someone in Boyds, Maryland? There's no commonality for me to someone like them. You know, and your kids play sports or so. You know, but they play in county programs. They don't play in city programs. They play in county programs. It's something we got to work on. We got to have a bigger sense of community in Montgomery County. And I don't know how you manufacture it. They're going to build downtown Crown, so people, that's a community. That's manufactured. It's built out of the dust. It is the Field of Dreams. You know, it's plowing over corn and putting over buildings. It's like Rock Ridge in Blazing Saddles. There's nothing behind it. This is going to be a topic for another show. We're running out of time here, but it's going to be a topic for another show. And we've got to figure out how to get that done. If you have the answers, hit me up on BruceNegrinRadio@yahoo.com or leave me a message at Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin on Facebook or call the program at 773-897-6423. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank you for understanding. And just, you know, say a prayer or two if you can for Baltimore. I know that sounds corny, but I'm serious. The city needs a little more than what it's getting right now. And it needs a little more love. It needs a little more understanding. And you know, it just doesn't need to be abandoned. Let them get their act straight. Let this thing play out. And let's get it back together again. And to the people of Baltimore, I hear what you're saying. Step up to the mic like you have been, because no one's going to say it for you. But, don't let anybody hijack your message. You understand what I'm saying? I'll talk to you next week.
You and her. what you need to be, babe. Most of all, I just don't wanna be free, no.
I think I got it, but just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Well, I heard about the fella you've been dancing with all over the neighborhood. So why didn't you ask me, baby? Or did